welcome to the next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So today we're talking to a man who is a business coach. Having had years of experience running businesses, he's become a coach recently. And I think it's going to be interesting to find out about everything that he does.
Well, I think recently is one of those things where, the Egyptian sort of empire was fairly recent as well. But Bill's been coaching for since God was a lad. But at the end of the day, Bill Squires works with Action Coach, and he's a Yorkshireman, and basically he's talking to people. In this general area, this is my general area. Kevin's up in Northumberland, so I wouldn't imagine he strays up that way. But we'll find out soon enough.
Well, you need a coach in Yorkshire because if they're Yorkshiremen, it's tough getting money out of them, Graham.
Well, that's true.
And
Bill, welcome to the next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you very much indeed, Graham. Thank you, Kevin. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, let's clear all this up. So, how long have you been coaching?
So I've been coaching for 8 years in January, and it doesn't seem that long. It's absolutely flying by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you must have had a career before that to give you the sort of general sort of knowledge, if you like, to be able to coach other people. Nobody wants a coach who's just come out of university. So basically, or maybe they do. Maybe they do. I don't know. But, not for me. But Bill, you'd have had experience in business, etc. before that point. Tell us a bit more about that.
Okay, so I did come out of university a long time ago, many moons ago. I came out in early 80s, actually, and it was a tough time. And I went into the oil business. So I spent 5 years traveling around the world, working hard, playing hard in an oil service company, ending up as a base manager in Gabon in West Africa. Loved my time, made some great people who are now still friends. And then I decided I didn't want to be what I called oil field trash for all of my life. So I was thinking about how I was going to get out of that. And I went and studied for a year and did an MBA at INSEAD in France.
Wow. Well, these are all very posh things that you've done. I mean,
I wouldn't call Gabon posh.
No. I mean the INSEAD. Gabon's just where I suppose you ended up with. Do they have a fairly deep reservoir of oil?
Yeah, Gabon was quite lit, but it wasn't just Gabon. So I went through Holland, Egypt, Pakistan, Syria, South Africa, South America. So I had quite a few different places in my career, which is why I really loved it, because I enjoyed the travelling.
Yeah, well, you would do. I mean, that's a fair span. I was probably beats yours, Kevin.
Oh, it definitely does. And my clients overseas are probably small in number. Most of my work done in the UK. But like Bill, I did have a bug for the travelling and the regular change of environment. And that's something that keeps you really alive during a career, I think, Graham.
No, I've not really had that much experience of working abroad. I work for Lego, of course, and they're in Denmark. But beyond that, I've been very much home based. Worked for American companies, but I'm still glad to be home based. But Bill, I mean, you obviously built up a sort of a knowledge base, and something in you sort of triggered the idea that, hold on a minute, I can help others. What was that? How did that come about?
I've always loved developing people. So, as you say, after I was in business, so after I came out of the MBA, I went into business and a mixture of owner-managed roles and paid roles. Yeah. But I always loved both business growth and developing people. And therefore, it's been a passion. I've done it on various different occasions. And therefore, just the opportunity when I came out of my last corporate role to do something that would be really meaningful for me.
Okay, well, all right. So you like the idea of training people, etc. And so you then said, right, I'm going to pitch my hat at coaching. And always follow that you might get on with people when you're at work, etc. And you'd like developing them. But then you sort of made that sort of straight line into coaching. So tell us more again. Was Action Coach the first sort of training organization or coaching organization that you went to?
No, so in my career, I've spent some time running businesses, growing businesses, developing teams. I've spent some time as a consultant. So I did a chunk of my time, I was consulting first in Australia and then back in the UK. And that's about developing people as well, because we weren't just telling them what to do, we were helping them to do it for themselves. But when I've been working in business, you can't do everything yourself. So what you've got to do is you've got to develop other people to do it for you. And I'm a great believer that if you hire people who are better than you, you get an easy life.
I completely agree. I'm only one employee, but she's definitely better than I am at the things that she does, that's for sure. But it does take a little bit of coach. I asked her the other day, do you think I'm still contributing in this? She said, well, everything that we do is it comes from you. I might take it and run with it, sort of thing, but it comes from me. So it was a moment of sort of rare introspection. I don't usually have those moments, but Kevin's probably noticed. But I there was a thought that said, what can I? Because I'm looking at another 5 years or so, Bill, before I probably retire, even though I could retire now. But and I want to sort of coordinate it with my wife retiring. So it's a pity I should have t picked a wife who was the same age. It would have been easier. But I just saw this wonderful sort of meme on I think it was Facebook or Instagram, and it was this old guy making a time machine and says, "What are you doing?" And the wife was there, and he's my age or a bit older maybe, and he's making this. "Are you making a time machine?" He says, "Yes, I am." And then the next couple of things are, she's asking. She's obviously a lot younger, and he's a lot younger. She says, "Will you be my boyfriend?" And the next thing he's saying, "No." And so I just thought that was a wonderful meme. But yeah, sorry, I don't know where that came from. But you obviously are you're helping lots of businesses. The types of business that Action Coach gets, are they kind of one man bands, or do they stretch all the way up to big businesses?
No, they stretch. So, and we don't work that much with an absolutely one-man band. We tend to work with organisers who've got probably two or three people within the team, might be five, but it goes right up to organisations of 100 people. And I'd say our sweet spot, and this isn't the same for all coaches within the Action Coach team, would be probably between 500,000 and 10 million in turnover.
Okay. All right. Well, let's.
Businesses. We're not looking at absolute startups.
And it'll depend on the coach. So I've got some clients I've helped with who have been an absolute startup, because I've been really excited and I've seen their passion and I will get involved. But sometimes I'll be doing that on a pro bono basis, because what they don't want is a significant cost to add on to their pre-revenue cost base. But I
But
can.
there's usually there'll I'm sure there's a commercial deal somewhere wrapped up in that, because if you're putting in your time, then at some stage it would be nice for you to be rewarded with that. But parking that for a minute, when it comes to the typical kind of client, let's just say, that walks over the threshold, or you've had, well, how long have you had them, Bill? How many years have you had at your typical clients?
So, my longest serving client, I've been coaching now for 8 years and has been with me for 7.5.
Wow.
I've got some others that are six. So they're long-term relationships, but there is no tie-in. So I don't tie my clients into any form of annual or 3-year contract. I'm as good as my last coaching session.
Okay, so if all right, so that's very healthy. But over that period, the coaching that you're going to give somebody, how does that actually, I mean, what is it that you're delivering to, a business? What is it that they need that they probably don't know that they need?
Good question. And it depends, Graham. It depends, because it depends where they're starting from. So it's all about, for me, for them having a real clear vision and goal of what they want to achieve. And I find that most business owners, when I start talking to them, haven't got great clarity about what they're building. So I'll talk to lots of people and say, right, so if you were going to build your dream house, I'll ask you, Kevin. Kevin, you're about to build your dream house. Yeah? You
Right.
found
Yep.
the plot.
Yep.
What would you do next? If you found the plot for your dream house, what would you do next?
I'd probably go out and start consulting with an architect and see what we could put on the plot.
Absolutely, great thought to do. And what would you do with that architect? What would be the next step?
I'd be giving the basic list of requirements.
And what would you expect him to
Fairly
come back
accurately,
with?
because I've been through the process.
Great. So you're already in your dream house. You know how to do it. Yeah. And that architect will come back with a really detailed plan. They'll have plans through it of every floor. They'll have sections. Nowadays, we may even have a 3D fly-through.
They had been invented back when I did it, but yeah,
Absolutely. That's
the
okay.
process,
It's okay.
and we went through the plans, we changed things around, we modified stuff. Hey, and we still got stuff wrong, Bill.
As you do, because life moves on and you'll change. But most business owners, they start digging the foundation straight away. They haven't got a plan for what their business is going to look like when it's finished, when they start. Got one of my clients, I remember them really well, said, well, I've got a plan, Bill. We're going to find some clients, do some work, invoice it, start again. That's the plan. They were very busy. Because that's what exactly what they were doing, finding work, yeah, finding clients. They hadn't got a plan to say how big this business was going to be when it was finished. And helping people to do that, they go, wow, can I actually achieve that? Of course you can. You've just built it out, and then this tells us now what we've got to go and do. So,
So, I get the idea of a plan, and
yeah.
I've come across one of your fellow coaches in the action coach world, and I listen with a lot of admiration actually, because there's a lot of models that that individual went through, and engagingly, and as well, I'm not in any way deprecating his work, but what I would say is that action coach have built a range of approaches to the business world. How much does that determine what Bill Squires says? Or is it the sort of thing that, well, I can see this library of solutions or help, but I'm Bill for I'm it's Bill, and
Yeah,
I can draw down from that if I need. Or is it,
absolutely.
no, you've got to do that, Bill,
No, no,
because you
no, 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 absolutely not. It
right.
is, so I call it Bill Squires Business Coaching, powered by Action Coach,
Yeah, right.
because it is very much me. Every coach, whether they be an action coach or another business coach, is different. They'll have some models, some systems. I've got some. I can use those and pull on them, but it's absolutely my thought process. But it's not really my thought process. It's what the client wants that matters. What's the client's plan? What does he want to achieve? What does he see as the significant issues that he needs to move on now to get towards that plan as quickly as possible?
Is it 9/10 about planning in the work that you do, or
No,
give
absolutely
us an
not.
idea of the other things that go into your work that you do with people?
So it's getting so planning, but then it's clarity and focus on what is going to make the biggest difference now. And it's nine tenths about taking action. They can plan, they can think about the future, but it's only by taking action that things will change. If they don't take action, what will happen to their business?
All kinds of things could happen to their business.
Yes, it
No,
could get
nothing really
worse.
good's going to happen.
They could get lucky, but they won't be looking at me and going, you've helped me get there. It's just luck. And they'll understand that. And therefore, what really matters is people get focused and take action. So it's focus, clarity, and accountability.
I don't know about you, Kevin, but I'm hearing the original thesis for this podcast, the
Oh,
next
yeah.
100 days. We were thinking plan, do, and then review. Now, I mean, that's just a way of
And
putting it.
that
100 bucks.
100 days came very much out of what is the most important thing to do next, and the idea that you should be trying to focus on one thing rather than many, because hey, you can go 100 miles in one direction and an inch in 100 directions. And in my experience, that if you want to do something to a sufficient depth and do it properly, 90 or 100 days is the right sort of time scale you should be putting on that, you know?
Absolutely. And interestingly, we have a 90-day planning cycle. So we use 90 days rather than 100. It's the same time frame. So we'll think ahead long term where the business is going to be when it's finished. We'll have a long-term outlook. We'll come down to a 5-year financial plan, which comes down to a 12-month plan budget, and then we'll break it into 90 days. We'll break it into weekly chunks. And what's the most important plan of all?
Today.
Today, what we're going to do tomorrow, and I suggest people think hard about that every evening so they can free up their mind, A, for some rest, and their mind will think on their goals for tomorrow and help them automatically.
It's that's and we have talked on this podcast over probably several podcasts about the whole idea of planning and how do you do exactly that. I mean, I've carried a notepad for years. I've got years of them up there, and basically they follow the same sort of process that I call it things to do, and I know it's not perfect, but it's what I do, but I do
It
it
works.
consistently every day. And so basically, and I'd like list them down, and I might have anywhere up to, and I know that I don't normally go past 10 because I've heard that before. 10's too many. But basically, if I've got, I don't know, 8 things to do, I put a red line through them, and that gives me a sense of it's almost like having a sweet. That's a it's a nice thing to have because I've done that one onto the next. Now there's issues to do with, do you start with the hardest one first or whatever,
Eat
but
that frog.
and I don't know what the answer to that is. I think some days it is, some days it's not.
And I think that's important. It's how you're feeling on that day, but knowing that there is somebody there to hold you accountable is useful for many. Who's the easiest person to let down in the world?
The guy in the mirror, I think.
Absolutely. And we've all heard it, but we don't hold ourselves to account. And therefore, I just think for all of us, you need somebody there. Doesn't have to be a business coach, for sure. But we all need someone to hold us to account to make sure we do and carry through what we say we'll do.
Yeah, interesting.
Bill, can I challenge you for a second
Course
about
you can, Kevin. I'd welcome it.
The daily plan being the most important? I actually think the weekly plan's the most important, because there's an element of what am I going to do today or what am I going to do tomorrow? And it's the urgent things that end up on the top of the list. When you sit down on Friday and think, well, what am I going to do next week? You're much more likely to put the important stuff on the list.
And
Okay.
I take
And if that
that.
important stuff's not on the list in the weekly plan, it'll never find its way in the daily plan.
And I concur, but my daily plan is I'm reviewing that against my 90-day goals. So from my 90-day, I'm planning that. This is what I want to achieve. You say it might be one key goal, yeah, or it could be a couple of key milestones. But what we need to do is break that down into the bite-sized chunks that we can fit into weeks.
Absolutely.
And then they've got to flow into our weekly plan. And then we've got to make sure that they flow, those important things that are going to move the business forward, flow through into the daily plan. And that's the part of the having a coach is to make sure you're keeping focused on your medium term, your 90-day goals, so that by doing that, you achieve your plan for the next 12 months.
I know that Kevin would be pretty good at that, just instinctively, and I know that I wouldn't. I would have my longer term plans on one of my whiteboards in this office, and it these are the things I want to get done. These are the most important things, the most important priorities, and then they manifest onto the daily. And if that daily doesn't get done, it gets onto the following daily. So basically that I don't know. I find that sort of long-term planning almost like a fool's errand, because basically, people get in your way. Now, don't get me wrong, you should probably have a good idea of what you want to get to, but people get in, come along and bugger up your plans.
If you
So,
met them, Graham.
what would you do then?
So my question is, if you haven't got a plan, where are you going? And talking to, I've just got a client now who's just done his 5-year plan. He's coming to the end of it. He's building his next one. How do, well, it's amazing, Bill. We're on track. And that's my thought process. If you've got a plan, I was catching up with somebody yesterday, and they're on track. And I remember their faces when they first built the plan. And it was really scary because it was ambitious. Can we do that? And it's partly giving people the confidence to know that they can.
I because I not dabble. I'm a reseller for an AI solutions business, and even and I'm not going to come across as the person who knows it all, and I'm not. But the one thing I've done is I've spent a whole lot of time figuring how to use these things out, and it seems to me that when it comes to that, for me personally, I would be, because these people, if you go into the likes of chat and other things that I use, it remembers what you've done. It remembers the things that you've added into your libraries and so forth. So you've got a really good kind of, so that if you said to it, now, I want you to give me a 3-year plan, it would.
It would. And you could,
And it would split it down into the months, into the quarters, to the weeks, to and then in that way, I would come back to Kevin and I'd say, ha-ha, have a look at this. Now, Kevin could probably do that himself. Personally, I'd want help.
And getting help from AI, great thing to do. Getting help from someone just to challenge you and ask some questions. But everything we do happens twice. Happens once in our mind when we think about what we're going to do, and then when we actually do it.
But if I and I know I can do this. If I could build a Bill Squires
AI bot.
AI agent,
Yeah, you could.
and have your body of work, it'd have it would talk in the way in which you talked, and it would be trained to say, Graham, I don't know if you're really on. So it would be almost like you'd be there. You'd be
Absolutely.
the Bill on my shoulder. I have has that something is in your world, is that starting to manifest? Is that starting to come about, or is it just too early?
So I've got clients who've tried it. I've got clients who've asked AI to coach them. So it is definitely coming. And in terms of building plans, absolutely. In terms of recording results, absolutely, really useful if we tell it the right things of what we want to see. And I think where the challenge is that balance of support versus challenge, which for an AI bot is difficult to read people.
Think there's think it's too easy to say yes, I agree with you. And
That's
I think
true.
there's another way of looking at this, Bill, which is if you let's just say you've got 50 clients, and not that you'll be sharing confidences, but you'll be sharing the sort of generalities of the understandings, the breakthroughs, all that kind of stuff. You're coaching bits that effectively went to inform the agent that is called Bill Squires AI agent. Every single week, your coaching gets better. So to
Absolutely.
your point, yes, it's not Bill real life and that sort of, rather imposing. You can't tell from the screen, but Bill's quite a tall fella. If he stands next to you, you're going to do what he says. But the thing is that I wonder whether or not this is the way in which coaching is going to go, at least for a part of the market. I don't know how big a part, but half.
Absolutely, I expect the market to move in that direction. But there is something you talk about the fact that I'll be talking to all the different clients. We very much bring our clients together. They love that. So for me, or for us, bringing the community of clients together is a great thing for them to share learnings. Because, as you'll know, being a business owner is a lonely place.
Yeah,
So
very.
they love coming together. So that 90-day planning workshop they do as a group, and they're sharing results. This is what we've achieved, and this is how we've achieved it. This is what worked well. And they're setting themselves goals, and then they're sharing their goals with their peers within that community, because sharing goals is a great way to ensure you that deliver against those goals.
You mentioned earlier that you've got this MBA from INSEAD, and that, I mean, that's proper top end. Mine was Bradford Management Centre, which basically has a pretty reasonable reputation, but it's not the same. But the thing is, still got the MBA and still was top of my class, but didn't it just meant the rest of them were really stupid. But you know, from my point of view, it was one of those things I just loved.
Absolutely. And I certainly wasn't top of the class or anything like it, because I very much realized very quickly I was not going to be in the top or the bottom. I was safely in the middle somewhere. So that meant I was going to have a great time.
I've got to, admittedly, I did bribe the no, no, I didn't. I didn't. I couldn't afford to bribe the class leaders. But the point I'm trying to get to is that with that level of cerebral, if you like, training that you got with the MBA, do you feel that that is really helpful when it comes to the slightly bigger customers, or is it as helpful for every customer?
Now, I think it's all of your experience is helpful, and you don't know how much and when it's going to be relevant. But I actually think that the theoretical work I did on the MBA was useful, but the career after that, where I put things into practice and experienced things and worked with people and built teams, was much more useful. And I don't say that, but I've grown businesses, B2B businesses, significantly. And learning how to do that and what works and some of the thought process. A lovely lesson. At one stage, we were in FM and we were thinking about growing. So we spent a lot of time going to ask clients for feedback when we'd lost a tender, because you couldn't learn from failure. Okay. But then actually, we turned that round and I said, okay, what happens if we go and spend time with the client before to really understand what they want in this situation?
If
And that,
they grant you that opportunity, sometimes they don't, though. But
I, yeah, but if you want to do something hard enough, absolutely, if they grant it, but if you're explaining the reasons for it, etc., what we found is people gave us the opportunity. So we went into one 12-month period and won 5 out of 6 because we changed our process, thinking about truly understanding what they wanted and making that bespoke to them rather than learning from failure.
And Bill, I can completely validate that. And back in some of my consultancy days, I was leading a bid management part of the business. And our standard qualification process when an opportunity came along was, how well do we know this client? If we could look at the proposal and look at the list of requirements and say, yeah, we could do all of those. But hey, if we didn't have a relationship with the client already, which told us all the ins and outs and the things that matter to that business but wouldn't have been written in the tendering documents, we would not bother bidding.
Thank you. And that is so important, isn't it? It's not just about sending out numerous responses, it's about the quality.
Yes.
So 5 out of 6, we decided which 6 we're going to go for. And we absolutely qualified them down to we're just going to go for 6. I was so frustrated that we lost that 6-1. I can tell you
But
more about that, because we decided we were going to go for it, so we expected to win.
But you've got to accept that nearly everything that we went for, we knew there would be three or four other good bids going in. Therefore, though you wouldn't win every one of them, there would be somebody else who had a marginally better relationship with the client than you did.
You can set whatever expectations you want.
One of them that you got though, Kevin, was West Ham's new football ground. And they hate it. I mean, I know they had Olympics there, but I mean, basically, you were doing that, weren't you? But it's now West Ham's ground. They hate it, Kevin. So it's really your fault.
That's not quite the contract there, Graham. I mean, that's only because I was part of the London 2012 team. How did we get in there? Because we knew that they had a problem reporting on the stats that they needed to around the construction of the Olympic Games. They had a very deep problem, and we had a great potential solution to that. Our deep understanding of how to come up with the right KPIs and put the systems in place behind them to measure them is great. Yeah, I still remember that day when we all arrived in the big public area. We were in the Barclays building in Canary Wharf. The Olympics rented two floors of that. And the day that they presented the plans for the Olympic Stadium, now, how it would be this fantastic structure that the bottom part of it was permanent, the top part was temporary. And in fact, you could take this top part and you could ship it to somewhere else in the world that was hosting the next Olympic Games and create an Olympic Stadium there. And you had this sustainability. And their idea and legacy was, oh, well, we're going to leave this small stadium on the Olympic Park that can be used as an athletic stadium, a rugby ground, whatever. Question came on the day, will this ever be a football ground? Not a chance, they said.
Well, they were right about that. Bill,
It's been because the way it was designed initially, it is a dreadful football ground.
I do, I well, they're relegation rivals from our point of view, from my point of view. But the point is, I really do feel for the fans. They're paying the money to go into an awful stadium, not suited to them as a club. But anyway, going back to the Bill Squires business coaching, you have a number of products, Bill. One-to-one business coaching, group coaching, which you've kind of mentioned. Action Club, Growth Club, Book Club.
Yeah, I believe in education. So I believe that, we should all be learning and we should be making time to learn and just developing ourselves. So, absolutely, you want to go and spend time learning from others, and reading is a great way of doing that.
So you literally have a book of the month or something of that
Yeah,
nature.
and we'll send that out and we can come together and discuss it.
Right.
I'm not running that at the moment, but I've run it in the past. I'm happy to run it again. It's about, is there a market and do people want to do that? But we have a book of the month that goes out every month on our newsletter to all of our community.
Interesting. And what do they cover, particular topics? Is it
It's
any
just
book?
something that I've read that I believe in that I think will be useful for them. How many people take them and read them through? Don't know.
And then the last thing on that list there is value builder assessment. How
Yeah.
do you go about value building assessing?
Have you seen the value builder analysis? So basically, what it's a bit of a self-analysis, and it looks at the value of your business as an acquirer might look at it. And there are eight control factors within it. And as you move the needle on all of those control factors, which is having less concentration into one client, moves the needle. Having a business owner that is redundant from the organization and not heavily involved with every client moves the needle. So
Got it.
it's good for businesses to understand how an acquirer might see them.
Interesting. That is interesting, because presumably, I mean, it's something that's in my mind, but presumably, you either keep it going in some way and hand it to somebody else, or you get out of it, you exit, you sell it to somebody else. So, or you close it down. And that just seems to be a bit of a waste, really.
So what I would say is for everyone, they should have a plan. What do you want to do with this business and what do you need to achieve to get there? And if people build a business that works without them, then they've got choice.
Well, you work with a former podcast D, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Kurt Dobie, and Kirk and I used to work together many years ago, and basically, he fortunately he couldn't have been happier on Friday when we met, because he said that was the day that he went past his probation, which you probably didn't know, because if you'd have known, you'd have fired him.
Definitely wouldn't have been doing that. And thank you very much for the introduction to Kirk.
Well, we some of our listeners will probably remember Kirk, and smart fella, and I hope he does really well. I know he will. It's not even hope, but you will grow it, won't you? Because you effectively your plan is to grow. Presumably, at some stage, Bill, it's to hand it on to somebody, or to get out, or to exit, or something.
Yeah, so the idea for me was the same looking what I talk about with my clients. So at some stage, I want to step back. I love what I'm doing at the moment. There's no sudden pressure for me to leave.
No.
But at some stage, I want to step back, and therefore, I need to build something which will sustain beyond me. I don't want to just shut the doors because I want this community to have legs and carry forward, be sustainable. So to do that, I need to bring in another coach, and Kirk's joined us in that role. And then once Kirk's up and running and successful, we'll bring somebody else in. And then we'll bring in a business development manager who will help them both to sustain their client base and the general community. And at that stage, I can step back. So I've got a 5 to 10 year plan to achieve that.
Now, if you're building this, and this is all about Bill Squires, and it's all based on your experience and the experience of Kirk and anybody else you bring in, why do you need Action Coach?
I get loads from Action Coach. So I don't need it, I want it. Because it gives me a whole load of systems. It gives me a community of coaches who add significant value to me. So I don't need, I want it. I've been in the franchise, so the initial term is 7 years. I've done that and I'm still here. So I had choice at that point. I have decided that I want to continue.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer, and you know, I've got a pretty good view of Action Coach, and but the thing that was going through my mind, Bill, is when as you pull yourself out, I mean, and you're less and less there, then the words Bill Squires, I mean, you could shorten it, couldn't you, to BS coaching.
I could, and we are going through that process because I did ask Kirk, and he said no. Because I said, Kirk, because we call Bill Squires coaching, you're going to need to change your name by deed poll to Bill Squires too. And he would not accept it, Graham. It was shocking.
Not quite what I had in mind, but I did
So
think that's
BS has come up in my conversations on a Friday night in the pub when I'm asking my mates, what do we do? Well, you can obviously go to BS coaching.
no, absolutely,
And it would
and
fit me quite well, actually.
well, I think if you put no in front of it, then basically you'd be up against people like Dan Kennedy and others who use no BS. But basically, I do think that's but that's something that you'll cross over the next 5 to 10 years, I guess.
Well, we're thinking about it now as we speak. Yeah.
Because you've got a plan.
Because I've got a plan, and
And
therefore this is, yeah.
if you and I mean you've kind of answered it already, but just to summarize, if I asked you, you've got 100 days, you've got a new client, and you know, maybe it's your first engagement or second engagement, whatever it is with it. And you had to advise them about their next 100 days. What are the general themes that you would put into that next 100 days that you'd want them to focus on?
It wouldn't be themes I'd put in. It'd be themes that they would develop themselves. It's absolutely coming from them. So my thought process is, what's the goal? What do you want to have? What are the issues and challenges that get in the way? And actually, we talked about this being about what are some of the challenges that business owners have in Yorkshire at the moment. I'm really happy to talk about that, Graham. But bring it down to specifics. It comes down to, are we busy? Have we got enough leads and inquiries coming out of our marketing and our sales process to keep us busy? If not, we'll focus on that. For some clients, they go, I just can't find enough people. Right, we'd better focus on finding good people. And finding good people is a challenge for a lot of people. A lot of our people are working too hard. They're working long hours. And if they did the calculation of they're doing these hours and this is what I'm getting for it after I've paid all the other costs, and they worked out their hourly rate, they'd probably be the lowest paid person in the organization. So that needs to change. And then we've got other people who are going, my team's not working. So what are we going to do to put in place? So I've got clients at the moment who are going, Bill, the big challenge is getting the team to start being accountable and responsible for action.
That's a really good answer. But to just to pick up on the point that you made, that what is it that business owners in Yorkshire are, what are their challenges right now, as you see it, as you're sensing that, it's not just people from Yorkshire, because basically it doesn't matter whether you're from Yorkshire or
Doesn't matter
from
where you're
North
from. No,
Umbria
no,
or
no.
whatever.
We
It,
haven't got a Yorkshire government. We've got a central government. And what are the challenges? Well, for everybody, they're seeing increasing costs of employment. Yeah. And they're also seeing changes to employment rights, which has got them concerned. So those are two big challenges. We've had a lot of uncertainty. And therefore, for many organizations, demand is slightly down if you looked at it in the aggregate in the marketplace. And I'm talking to people at the moment who are saying competition is therefore up. So what we've got to do is get more opportunity and also present ourselves better such that our clients and our prospects will choose us to take those decisions and work for us. So we've got a lot about winning more business at the moment, and we've got a lot about finding great people, because that's a challenge. But then I would say most people get the people they deserve.
That's a really good way kind of draw most of this to an end. But Kevin, I'll give you one more question. You must have been thinking of a hard question for Bill.
And it comes back to this planning thing, Bill. Now, you're saying what you want to start with, well, really the ultimate end in mind,
Start
and
with the
then
end in mind.
bringing that into a 5-year plan. Challenge. Is 5 years too long?
I don't believe so.
That too far into the future to be able to to predict with any degree of accuracy what's going to happen?
I
I was
understand.
planning my business 5 years ago and looking at where I'd be, half of the things that have happened I'd never have even thought about.
Okay. And that may be the case, but my view is having a plan. And I've seen clients who've gone through that type of phase and have hit goals. I was talking with one yesterday, catching up. I haven't spoken to them for a while. I haven't actually been coaching them, but they're saying, yeah, this was the plan. We put that together when we built the 5-year plan. We actually, it, we put in a plan 4.2, but we decided that was too much. So we took it down to 4 for our plan. We're going to achieve 4.5 million. And they could not believe that. And then they're going, what are we going to do next year? Well, we're going to go back to the 5-year plan and we're going to look at that again. And they couldn't believe that they would do that at the time we set it. And yet they've built a picture and they've made it happen. So I think it depends how long term you look. And I want people to think into the future and think about what the constraints. I was doing it with somebody recently and he was going, the challenge is not going to be the marketplace. The challenge is going to be finding the skilled people I need because nobody's training them anymore. And therefore, that's a really good thought. So he's got to think about where he's going to find the talent to develop.
And I'm just thinking that I tend to think in 3-year chunks rather than 5-year. But I guess we're going to the same place, Bill. The same principles apply.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm in the sort of the weaker sand on this subject. But basically, I suppose I've been going for about 12, coming up 12 years. So basically, I must have done something right. But if somebody wanted to find you, Bill, they can go to your website, which is billsquires.actioncoach.co.uk.
I would, if they just put Bill Squires Business Coaching into Google, that's the easiest way.
All right. So they'll get some other Bill Squires business coaching somewhere else in.
Don't think they will. If they put Bill Squires Business Coaching into Google, I think they'll hit on me pretty high up that list.
That's fair enough. That's okay. Bill, I just wanted to say a big thank you for joining Kevin and I on the Next 100 Days podcast.
Graham, I think that was a really refreshing look at the world of coaching, the world of planning for your business, and took us back to the reason that this podcast exists, that we have over the years strayed away from a little bit, but coming back to the idea that you need, if you're going to get somewhere, you need a plan.
You do, and you can't get away from that. And I probably are underselling throughout about. about planning, but I have ways of planning, and I think it's just a question of the longer term plan. Maybe that's a bit of a gap in my personal armory, and I'll think about that a little bit. I'd love to create a Bill Squires AI agent. I think that would be quite cute, and
Be really interesting.
I've seen them where they rip into you. They don't just, because the typical thing with chat, you say something, it says, "Oh, what a brilliant idea," and it's not like that. If it's a crap idea, it'll tell you it's a crap idea. Now, the point is, having something like that, I knowing I've seen it, it's only going to get better. And I know that it's got a continuous loop where you can actually keep feeding it. I just think that's just gonna, well, put it this way, if Bill was going to continue to be a business coach after his retirement, and one of those AI agents was built to provide his knowledge to people, that could that you know he might let's just say he has 100 clients, he could service 10,000, because basically you would make that available in particular ways, alongside other programs, etc., to actually serve a lot of people who potentially might never choose and opt to have a business coach.
Oh, absolutely, Graham. But I do think there's a lot of value at the same time in the in-person Bill Squires or Kirk Dobie as a coach,
I
because
agree.
there's I think one of the big things a coach brings you is accountability. It's much more difficult looking the real person in the face and saying, "Oh, I know we talked about that last time, but I haven't done it," than it is having a bot on a machine telling you that you haven't done something. There's something still to me about the value of the real person.
Yeah, I'd love to agree with you 100%, but I don't. Because I cannot be certain about the future, and nor can you.
Graham, you
And
can't be certain.
I'm not saying that the world will be full of that. It'll be only that. I'm just saying, and I think there is a place for both. It's just that the more I think about the way in which this is going, for somebody like Bill or the organization not to have that is almost like a fool's fool. It's not the best strategy. But for me, I think that's where the combination of coaching and the way in which AI agents can actually work would come together. But that's something for the future, Kevin, and we'll no doubt get round to that when we've done it.
So I'd say to anybody, looking for serious advancement in their business, go find a good coach like Bill. Or if you're an individual looking for career advancement, and Grow CFO, we do a big thing in mentoring as well. And I think that whether it's a mentor from personal level or a coach on business level, these individuals are worth their weight in gold.
Well, on that point, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.